Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Investors Group Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday the 16th of February, 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Glenn Willis, CEO for the Elanor Investors Group. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome all to Elanor Investors Group results presentation for the first half of the current financial year for the period ending 31 December 2017. I have with me here today my colleagues, Simon Simmons, CFO, Paul Sevier, COO, and Michael Balaba, who's Head of Real Estate and also heads up our other listed vehicle, the Elanor Retail Property Fund. I look forward to taking you through the presentation today, highlighting the last 6 months, the achievements of the last 6 months, and also providing our outlook for the ensuing period. I guess before I start, I'd like to make a few reflections on the last 6 months. Clearly, we've been satisfied with our growth in funds under management over the period, increasing from over 33% on the prior corresponding period, and in a market where it has been and still is challenging to find great value investments. A key business objective is to grow our funds under management for the group, and that's predicated on our ability to find, originate and execute on investments that have the investment attributes that we demand. And as a value investor, we won't compromise those investment criteria. Having said that, notwithstanding the environment, the prevailing environment, we have achieved some good increase in our funds under management. But another two aspects of the last 6 months that I'm particularly pleased with. Firstly, I'm pleased with the strength of our balance sheet. We've strengthened the balance sheet with the issuance of corporate bonds, non-dilutive capital as we see it, and I'll talk more about that shortly, but that positions us very well to be able to grow our funds under management without the need to issue further dilutive securities, and again, I'll talk to that shortly. Another key highlight and that of the last 6 months has been the enhancement of our team. We've added several senior executives to our investment management and asset management team, and that I believe will position us well to one, originate, increase our capacity to originate new investments, but also increase our capacity to asset manage our investments. So in summary, I'll talk more about it later, the balance sheet position that we are in, the talent that we brought on board to enhance our team strength to very good achievements over the last 6 months. As I mentioned, we've achieved a 33% increase in funds under management against the prior corresponding period. Over the period, we established the Elanor Metropolitan Prime Regional Fund, the Bluewater Shopping Centre in Brisbane, and also over the period we completed the acquisition of Gladstone Square for the Retail Property Fund. And in January, we completed the acquisition of Moranbah Fair. So all in all, those acquisitions we're very confident about. Acquisitions, again, that satisfy our investment criteria, and acquisitions that combine to enable us to achieve a good increase in funds under management. Again, in an environment where value is more challenging. Our core earnings for the year was a reasonably strong core earnings, whilst up significantly in the last half. It was down modestly on for the prior corresponding period. That period, most of you will know, was a period where we achieved very significant performance fees. I think most pleasingly, the increase of close to 20% in our funds under management fees, our recurring fees, was a highlight for the year. And our asset value still a strong $1.70, impacted slightly by the equity accounted impact of the from the transaction establishment costs of two of the funds that we established over the year. Our gearing is still a very modest 22%. Most of you will know that we have a philosophy of having very low to no bank debt. The issuance of the capital notes over the half has reflected in a increase in our gearing to just over 22.5%. But again, that positions us very well, as I said, to in a balance sheet sense, to enable us to grow our funds under management significantly without the need for further issuance of equity securities. So just going to page 5 of the presentation now. We sought to illustrate our balance sheet capacity and reserves that will enable us to grow our funds under management. As I mentioned, the issuance of the capital notes is a key contributor to that. And the balance sheet is now positioned where, if we think about our total available growth capital of well over $60 million, we believe we can grow funds under management in the order of $500 million to $1 billion without the need to issue more securities, more equity securities. So that page illustrates our balance sheet capacity, and I'm happy to talk about that in more detail and take questions on that. But suffice to say, we're very pleased with the strength of our balance sheet to position us for growth. Going to page 6, again, our key business objective is to grow our funds under management. As I mentioned before, we have the philosophy of one, buying investments on balance sheet with a view to seeding new funds, but more importantly, we have the philosophy of co-investing with our capital partners in our funds. Our growth in funds under management and balance sheet investments now exceeds $1 billion, which is we still consider ourselves, as I've said numerous times before, a very modest sized investment manager, and very modest in relative to the ambitions that we have for the group. And just on that page, it's pleasing to see the ongoing growth in funds under management, and we certainly believe that we continue to do so, and our ambitions is to grow at a much faster rate. Turning to page 7, we sought there to illustrate the component parts of our funds management income. As I mentioned before, in the prior corresponding period, we achieved significant performance fees. Performance fees obviously occur as and when we divest investments, but pleasing from that chart is the ongoing growth in underlying management fee income. Just turning to page 8, we provide that each year, and clearly we have ambitions to achieve shareholder returns significantly higher than where we are now. We again, we're well positioned to do so. We have the balance sheet capacity to do so. We certainly have the team strength to do so. And going to page 9, simply breaks up the components of our security price. I might turn now to the business overview, particularly on page 11. We do this each half to illustrate, one, the investments that Elanor Investors Group has on balance sheet, which, as I mentioned, consists of mainly co-investments in our external funds, and also the investments we have on balance sheet that that ultimately will be externalised into funds or divested. And on the left-hand side of that chart, that tables the funds that Elanor Investors Group has under management. And as I mentioned, the key business objective of the group is to grow the left-hand side of that chart. Going to page 12, that again breaks down and illustrates the both the managed funds and the investments on the balance sheet of Elanor Investors Group. So we'll give a summary of the financial results shortly, and I'll hand over to Paul to do that, and I'll provide a an outlook at the end of the presentation as well. But again, I'd like to summarise by saying the performance, the financial performance of the group has been solid over the half. We've grown our funds under management well, and I think well in an environment, as I said, where finding value investments is more challenging than it has been in prior years. But having said that, we're well positioned in a balance sheet from a balance sheet perspective, and we're very well positioned in a capability and team sense. And we look forward to growing our particularly our funds under management and our security holder returns as a result. I'd like to introduce you to Paul Sivier now, who will take you through the financials briefly.
Thank you, Glenn. The profit and loss that we've presented within the pack, it presents our co-investments on an equity accounted basis, and that's the appropriate way to view those investments because they are investments in funds managed by Elanor. I'll come to each of the segments and discuss them briefly in a moment. The profit and loss result was a profit after tax of $1.26 million for the half. Glenn mentioned before that a significant item impacting that equity accounted result was taking up our equity accounted share of transaction and establishment costs that related directly to the establishment of Elanor Metropolitan and Prime Regional Hotel Fund and Bluewater Square Syndicate during the half. And on a combined basis, our adjusted group profit was impacted by $3 million of equity accounted costs in relation to those one-off items. Just looking to core earnings and referencing the two major adjustments to net profit to arrive at core earnings. The first is the restatement of our returns from our co-investments in the funds we managed on the basis of the income that we receive from those funds as distributions, as opposed to the equity accounted result. And you can see that that's an uplift in core earnings of approximately $3 million, and essentially that uplift reflects the $3 million that I referred to previously in establishment and transaction costs. The other item of adjustment in our core earnings during the half was the profit that we achieved on the sale of the Ibis-styled Canberra Eagle Hawk, and that asset was sold into and ceded Elanor Metro and Prime Regional Hotel Fund during the half in October. Turning briefly to the balance sheet, again, of course, that balance sheet reflects the equity accounted results for our co-investments in our managed funds. In summary, the group has net assets of $157 million, which reflects a net asset value per security of $1.70. And essentially, the balance sheet comprises our owned assets in respect of the hotels, tourism and leisure segment, our co-investments, the Merrylands property, Coutts, and some short-term financial assets. As Glenn mentioned, our gearing remains conservative at 22.6%, which continues to be an objective for the group. There were no movements in property valuations during the year. The on-balance sheet assets within the hotel, tourism and leisure segment were retained at the same value, and as I mentioned, Iberstyle's Canberra Eaglehawk was sold during the half. Turning briefly to our segment performance, and just before I do that, there is a slide in the pack, if you have it in front of you on page 18, that gives you that detailed breakdown of the movement from our equity accounted EBITDA by segment through to the EBITDA contribution by segment, with the adjustments being the removal of the equity accounting impact and the inclusion of the distributions that we've received or are receivable from those funds. Turning to funds management, as Glenn mentioned, we've invested in additional senior experienced resources in the asset and capital origination area, which positions us well for growth. During the year, from 31 December 16, funds under management have grown by $218 million to $864 million, and our recurring fee income has increased to $4.22 million from $3.56 million, almost a 20% increase. Also during the year and within that growth in funds under management was an increase of approximately $60 million in the net asset value of Elanor Retail Property Fund. That reflects an uplift in valuation and also the acquisition of Gladstone Square Shopping Centre, with of course a further acquisition in December, Moranbah Fair, not represented in these numbers. In respect of the EBITDA contribution to core earnings for the half, $4.3 million versus 7.8. That of course includes a good increase in recurring fees, but in respect of acquisition and performance fees, it includes a total of $1.4 million, and that compares to the comparable period that's shown on page 19 of $5.8 million. As Glenn mentioned, we enjoyed significant performance fees in the prior comparable half. Turning briefly to hotels, tourism and leisure, this segment comprises both our on-balance sheet investments and also the co-investments that we hold in hotel, tourism and leisure funds managed by Elanor. During the half, the performance of our on-balance sheet assets showed a significant period-on-period increase with the prior year, and that's for the comparable period of ownership, with, of course, the Eaglehawk asset being sold during the 6 months just concluded. We've also shown a breakdown of the distributions that we've received from our co-investments in hotels, tourism and leisure, and they totaled $1.5 million for the half. Our real estate division comprises our co-investments in the real estate funds managed by Elanor, and our co-investment at 31 December was $47 million across those funds, and that fund generated an EBITDA contribution of 0.8 for the period, which reflected an annualised return on our co-investments of 7.6%. Special situations comprises the operations of John Coutts Furniture and the Merrylands property. The major developments, I'll leave Merrylands for discussion by Glenn. The major developments in John Coutts Furniture during the half were that we have entered into an arrangement to open Ashley Home Stores in New South Wales with Ashley Furniture. Ashley is a very large and successful furniture manufacturer and retailer based in the US, and we have exclusive rights within the Sydney area and the vast majority of New South Wales to open those stores. During the half, we opened three stores in total. Two of those stores were Ashley Home Stores that we opened in December, and one John Coutts store opened in October. During the half, we have invested in a significantly larger distribution centre for the business, and that distribution centre is required but also caters for the planned growth of the business to its desired footprint over the next short to medium term. Finally, in respect of the comparative result, the prior half result did include $400,000 in insurance recoveries. That insurance claim relating to the Eunora warehouse fire is not fully settled, and we expect to lodge a claim in the short term. I'll hand back to Glenn to discuss the Merrylands property.
Thanks, Paul. The Merrylands property has taken a lot longer to divest than we had anticipated. Whilst we achieved a rezoning for the property in a in an expeditious manner, the property was then within the Parramatta municipality. As a result of council amalgamations, the property is now within the Cumberland Shire, Cumberland municipality, and that has created delays for us. The delays have mainly resulted around the gazettal of the property, and that's and with Cumberland's council being in administration, that finished with council elections last November, and following that, we've now been able to get the property to be on exhibition, which is part of the gazettal process. That exhibition period ends at the end of February, and we will be striving to get the gazettal completed expeditiously from there. The market value of the Merrylands property is significantly dependent upon gazettal, and had it been in the Parramatta municipality, we believe we would have had achieved that gazettal a lot sooner. But that unfortunately, the property was caught up in those council amalgamations. We have interested parties in the asset. Continue to have interested parties in the asset, but as I said, that is subject to gazettal, and we will achieve a significantly higher price realising on that asset once we have achieved the gazettal for the property. We continue to have two key objectives to realise the value of that property. Firstly, is to sell outright, and secondly, is to maintain that property in the fund and have co-investors come into a fund and us partner with a development partner to deliver that property, which would see it as a four-year fund. So both options are very reasonable options, and we continue to evaluate the best course to get the best, to realise the best value for the Merrylands property. Again, I'll be happy to take questions during the question answer period. So just going to page 26. As I mentioned, the key business objective of Elanor Investors Group is to grow funds under management and the revenues and income from that business. The structure of our business is one that enables us to do that by having the ability to hold assets on balance sheet to in due course externalise those assets and seed funds, and most importantly, or more importantly, we have the ability to co-invest with capital partners in our funds, which is a key, which is important for both fund investors, and enables us to more effectively grow our funds under management. Again, over the last half, we have added significantly to the strength of the Elanor Investors Group team in the form of senior team members in the investment origination side of the business, the asset management side of the business, and also the capital origination side of the business. Capital origination side, particularly focusing on institutional capital and more specifically offshore institutional capital. Again, the strengthening of our balance sheet, specifically by the issuance of the corporate notes, gives us the capital base and the liquidity reserves to enable us to grow our funds under management by between $500 million and $1 billion before we would need to look to raise any further capital, or specifically any further equity capital, diluted capital. So in short, we're positive about the growth outlook for Elanor Investors Group. The market continues to be challenging in a relative sense to originate great value investments. Having said that, our pipeline is strong, and we're very pleased with our pipeline and the advancement of our pipeline, and we are positive about growing our funds under management, our income from our funds under management business, and therefore the core earnings of the business. So at this juncture, I might hand it over to the operator to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Our first question today comes on the line of Will McDermott from Ord Minnett. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I've just got a couple. I've asked them one by one. Just regarding the financial assets that were provided to Clarence Hotel Syndicate and Bell City Fund, can you just give a little bit of clarity about how that's structured? Also, what specific activities it's related to?
Yes. Thanks, Will. Paul Sivier speaking. The funds were provided to each of those syndicates to facilitate the repositioning and the refurbishment of the Clarence Street asset, and also to facilitate the proposed sale of the Bell City asset. In each case, the debt maturities of each of those funds came due, and we have provided capital on a short-term basis, essentially debt, to facilitate the execution of the strategies in relation to each of those funds.
So is that, do you have a set maturity on that debt as well? I mean, is that sort of a 12-month maturity as well, or is it just on a rolling basis?
Yes, we think shorter term than that, Will.
So your expectation is sort of still that the next 6 months you might be able to get some kind of desired outcome in those two assets?
That would be our expectation.
Okay, no problems. With John Coates Furniture, it looks as if revenue might have gone backwards against PCP, despite the fact that you've rolled out some new stores. Is that correct? And what's the reason for that? And also with the EBITDA of sort of almost going back with a mil, is that, are there any one-offs in that? And can we expect that to turn around for the full year?
Yes. Well, I think the key driver, as I mentioned, is that we invested during the half in a very significant increase in our distribution centre, which was required for the business. That centre obviously comes at a higher cost than what the business was incurring previously. It's not fully utilised, but it will be. It will get to be fully utilised as we roll out our desired footprint of stores. That's the first point. So that's been a drag on earnings in the current half. It's likely that would continue to be the case in the second half, and that's because whilst we have a significant number of attractive opportunities for new stores, what's critical to us is that they are located in precisely the right area for us, and so we do a considerable amount of work before opening stores. So that's the first point I'd make. I think the second point is sales, of course, are fairly flat. There was some contribution from new stores during the half, not that significant. The reality is our new stores are generating sales that are positive on the prior half. You might recall that the business, when we acquired the business, it comprised three foundation stores that are essentially more destination locations. And as people are focused more on shopping in home centres, we can see decline in the sales from those stores. And in addition, there's some reduction in sales of those stores as we drive our footprint of new stores in the Sydney metropolitan area.
Okay, thanks. So let someone else ask a question.
Our next question today comes to the line of Edward Day from Morlis. Please ask your question.
Hi, team. Just a question around the 60 mil in the notes raised in the first half, and you mentioned your ambition to grow at a much faster rate. I'm just wondering if you could put some sort of colour around the deal pipeline or the opportunities that you're seeing and sort of any expectations you might have for the second half 18.
Yes, I'll put some colour around that, Ed, without wanting to get too specific. Currently in our pipeline, we have a significant retail asset based in Melbourne that we are focused on. That's advanced. That's reasonably well advanced. It is, and it's well advanced. We have an asset, a retail asset in Canberra, retail commercial asset in Canberra that has terms have been agreed, and that's well advanced. And we also have a commercial asset in Adelaide. That is, again, well advanced. That asset will go into the Eleanor Commercial Property Fund. If we execute and complete the Melbourne retail asset, that will be a standalone vehicle, which would be the capital partners there would be more likely offshore institutional capital partners. The retail commercial asset in Canberra will be in a single asset fund. And we're well progressed, or progressing well, I should say, on a commercial asset in Perth, and in the formative stages of another commercial asset in Canberra. So they're the most advanced assets that we have in our pipeline. Without getting specific about them, that gives some colour, but suffice to say, several of those assets are very well advanced. And as such, we are pleased with the pipeline.
That's great. And also, just Bell City was on the market towards the end of last year. Could you just give a bit of an update on sales campaign is going?
Yep, well, we went through a sales campaign, that was run by JLL. That campaign didn't realise the demand or the price that we had anticipated, and certainly that they had anticipated. That campaign is ongoing. We have an alternative strategy that we're pursuing, which would be a joint venture strategy with an offshore capital partner for that asset, and that's the more likely course that we will take.
Okay, and then just finally from me on Maryland, when you get this gazettal approval, what's the sort of timing required before you can proceed to transaction?
Well, gazettal approval, I might turn it to Michael. When do we expect the gazettal approval?
The gazettal approval, referring back to Glenn's comment, the public exhibition process is in train at the moment. That is concludes at the end of February. It will need to, once submissions have been received by council, it will go back to council's IHAP and then from council meeting. So our expectation is that it will be back in the hands of the state government for gazettal sometime early in the next quarter, and then thereafter is that's the milestone upon which most of the interest is seeking to have de-risked to pursue the realisation of the asset.
Okay, so once it's come out of council, things can theoretically happen pretty quickly?
Given the government has already provided a gateway determination, that would be our expectation.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, it's star one on your telephone. Hi, since we have no further questions on the line today, I will now attend the conference back to management for closing remarks.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you all for attending the this results presentation, and thank you for your interest in Elanor Investors Group. It's been a pleasure to present these results and give an overview of the last half and some colour on the next half. And I reiterate that we feel very positive about the position that that the group is in, particularly in a balance sheet sense, and also in a team capability, strength, and also the pipeline. As I mentioned, we are positive with. We look forward to executing on our pipeline to grow our funds under management and security returns for investors. I'd like to finally take the opportunity to thank my team and the growing team and for their contribution over the half, and we certainly look forward to going from strength to strength as a group and growing Elanor Investors Group. Thank you for your time and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our call for today. We thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.